Okay, I've got 901. We'll call this regular meeting of the Coryell County Commissioners Court to order at this time, noting that all members of the court are present. For those of you that are here in person, if you've got an electronic device, we ask that you place it on silence at this time. And for those of you that are participating by Zoom, we would ask that you place your device on mute until such time that you need to address the court. We'll begin with a word of prayer. God, our Father in heaven, we come before you asking for the forgiveness of our sins. And God, we're so thankful that we're able to gather here peacefully under your watchful. Lord, we're most thankful for the rains that you've blessed us with in this part of the country. And as always, Lord, we ask that you watch over those first responders, both here and abroad, that protect us on earth as you watch over us from heaven. Lord, we, as always, we also ask that you place your hand of wisdom and guidance on this court so we may do here on earth what honors you. We ask all these things in your son's holy name. Amen.
Amen.
And the pledges to our flags. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible. The next item on our agenda is the public forum. Citizens may address the court on matters on any matter other than matters concerning county personnel or matters under litigation. Each citizen will be allocated 5 minutes with a total time not to exceed 30 minutes. Is there anyone here in person that would like to address the court this morning? Seeing and hearing none, is there anyone participating by Zoom that would like to address the court this morning? Seeing and hearing none, we'll move on to item number five, which is the consent agenda, noting that there are three items there, two financial summary reports, as well as the commissioner's court to approve the commissioner's court minutes from the March 25th meeting of 2025. You can choose to approve the consent agenda as presented, or you may select any of those to be discussed individually.
Make a motion to accept consent agenda A, B, and C.
We got a motion to approve the consent agenda from Commissioner Basham, a second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number five? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item number six, Road and Bridge Report. Mr. Latham, floor is yours.
Month of March, we didn't have 33 open report service requests, and we closed out 37. Bladed and added base and seven roads and bladed 20 roads. We've been building two low water crossings on County Road 318 and 343. Probably be wrapping them up this week or next week. Installed two cattle guards, County Road 174 and 366, and repaired one on 343. Cleaned out ditches at eight locations. Cleaned two culverts out and shaped the ditch around them. Picked up 42 fallen trees out of the roadways, pushed one fence row on the County Road 238. I've been installing head walls around culverts along County Road 106, 303, and 318, past 25 locations. Installed one curb sign, two speed limit signs, and one stop sign. Installed a large drainage structure on County Road 161. Repaired three culverts, installed two new and replaced three. Hauled off brush from 38 locations and then trimmed trees to two locations.
I'll make a motion to accept the road and bridge report.
Thank you. We got a motion to accept the road and bridge report from Commissioner Matthews, second from Commissioner Basham. Any further discussion concerning item number six? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item number seven is an update and action on grants to include, but not limited to, the SS4A. Any change on the status of that, Mr. Bell? At this point, do we need to continue to have that item on the agenda? Because I don't think we're getting any additional recoverables out of our meetings on that. Is that correct?
So I cannot recall the timeline for the subsequent applications, follow-up applications on that, for projects. It seemed like they were opening. Can we file some applications for some?
For implementation?
Implementation. I can't answer that question.
Okay. All right. Now we'll do some looking into it. We'll look up. Okay. Anybody else have anything on SS4A? Hazard mitigation plan?
Still attempting to cover our funds from the GLO.
They're writing checks right now. They are writing checks.
I thought that I was going to upload everything into the Dropbox, and they were going to review it. And I had everything in there. They were going to name it appropriately and put it in the portal for reimbursement. So I inquired the other day as to where we're at on that process, and I haven't responded to the response I got yet because I had to cool down a little, because apparently they forgot about all of that communication. Of course, it's all email communication. I didn't talk to them on the phone. It's all in writing.
Yeah.
Upload this and we'll look at it. Anyway, so I'm still working on that. We're going to get our $69,817 at some point.
Okay. All right. Very good. The RCP, I believe we're still working on revisions to a draft of the subdivision regulations.
At some point, so I filed our monthly reports the other day. So we have two monthly reports to do in the Tiger system every month. One of them's on the HMP and one of them's on the RCP program. And I'm still filing monthly reports on the RCP program. And I still can't get the unique identification number from our vendor on the RCP program, although I've requested it at least twice. So I got in trouble the other day by the GLO because I had their DUNS number on there and my report got kicked back because it was inaccurate. And so I contacted them to see what the inaccuracy was because it was just exactly like the reports I've been filing for months. And they informed me of the problem. So once again, I requested the unique identification number from our vendor and I have yet to receive it. I don't know how much longer I'm supposed to file the reports on the RCP because my understanding was as part of our contract with our vendor was that they were going to provide grant administration services. I would think that included filing our monthly reports with GLO. And I'm tired of filing them every month. It doesn't take long. It's really not that big a deal, but it's just aggravating. Right down to it. So I don't know who's in charge of the RCP program. I know it's not the county attorney, but I have been keeping us in compliance following our monthly reports. I would like for our vendor to step it up a notch and start tending business a little better before I lose my composure.
Noted. I will reach out to them to ensure that we make that handoff and that transition and the information that they need on their end. Anything else to add into the RCP? Hearing none, we're going to move on to Community Development Block Grant Mitigation, CDBG MIT. After 2.5 years.
That is longer than that.
No, I think it's about 2.5. I mean,
three.
After a long time. We received notification from the GLO that they have, in fact, awarded under the CDBG MIT just shy of $3.4 million for Coryell County. And as you recall, this court had chosen to select two projects internally, and we allocated one project to the city of Gatesville as well as one project to the city of Coppers Cove. A little cheat sheet note, I think we've got it right here. So the total four projects were the low water crossing on County Road 274 to remove that and replace that as a bridge. The low water crossing on Bald Knob Road, which again, I believe was to remove low water crossing and replace that as a clear span bridge. In the city of Gatesville, there was a Shady Lane culvert replacement that's just off of Bridge Street prior to the Bridge Street Business 36 intersection, just west of that. And then in the city of Coppers Cove, the East Avenue B storm drainage improvements, which were to, I think, repair and increase the capacity for the storm drainage in that particular area. In my conversations with them, they said the next step would be the assignment of a program manager at the GLO office. I have not seen any traffic or received any traffic from them, you know, assigning that project manager. But we do have Langford that is our vendor for grant management under that particular grant project. So we will engage them and get them linked in with this process. So.
Because so they're, of course, they're aware. Jill sent Pam, who's the project manager, grant administrator person from GLO that called the other day.
Yes.
She said she might or might not be our grant manager, but because they haven't assigned one yet, because it might be her, it might be somebody else. But Jill has already sent her the stuff that they had, you know, one thing they still had to check the box and the affirmatively furthering Fair Housing Act compliance, which is hard for me to say. But so Jill's already sent her that same day an email with the implication that previously they provided to meet those requirements. And we've gotten no response to that email either. But Langford's only, I think they're about to pass very good emails. So.
We hired an engineer already.
Yeah. So
yeah. It,
engineers on that already as well. And, Walter Department, by the way, we've talked about meeting as well. They're going to be on the same page.
So,
so we'll have a kickoff meeting the next thing. Once they get the grant manager signed, we'll have a kickoff meeting and they will have some steps. But yes, they already have some, they did some preliminary estimates and such.
So we have both of those in the category C project for FEMA, and we need to leave them.
We have it in writing, we got those two though.
The Bald Knob, the construction total projected on that is construction. Well, so we have construction numbers and construction plus engineering numbers. The Bald Knob, the construction plus engineering number was right at $800,000. And the County Road 274 construction engineering was right at 1.4. And so the construction on Bald Knob is right at 700,000. And construction on 274, 1.22 was the estimates that we. So the engineering is 15%. So that's a total of 800,000 on Bald Knob, 1.4 on 274. East Avenue B coming at 450,000, Shady Lane is 459, over construction plus engineering totals.
Facilitate all the construction and management of that?
Yes. Is that some of the gravity stations like 8% on
it? Well, I think that's built into that. I mean, that
like 8 and 4, the numbers that the government will have of those. I think we were curious this long ago.
We'll pull out that MITMOD document and blow the dust off of it and get that reviewed. But
so there was also some money for environmental, and again, this spreadsheet just keeps going. There's besides the construction and engineering, there's grant administration, environmental, and then there's a max budget, and then the grant request, which is the 3.384. And so the totals on the two projects for Cove and Gatesville were right at 500,000 total. One of them is 499,985, the other one is 489,180. And the total on Ball Knob, TTML out the door was 867,900, and on 274 is 1.527. So that was the total grant request, was the 3.3845, which was the award. Pretty sure on the ballot that was the award. So, which of course, we've been through that 14 times with our own projects and evaluating projects and meeting all the requirements, and we've been at this a while now. So I think all that should be as close. There's new project schedules, and some of the other projects. Long about the project schedule yet. It's to be completed 11/6/27. So we'll do startup documentation. There's June of 25 through August of 25. Engineering design, 8/25 through February 26. Environmental review, again, at the same time period. Bid advertising somewhere between February and April of 26. Contract award for construction would be some between April 6th and June 6th, 26. Construction notice to proceed, the issue there in the June or July 26th time frame, 12 months set aside for construction, and 2 months for closeout. So, of course, the project schedule could move differently than that, but that was the proposed. My own ball. That was the proposed schedule. 274 looks exactly the same.
274 is basically held together with the band aid.
It's 2 years.
I think before our Friday meeting, are you going to be available for the Friday meeting with FEMA?
Yeah.
Why don't we sit down and talk before that and come up, and this is going to go into strategies for Category B. And that's why I think we've got a bunch of stuff in Category C that probably needs to go back to Category B.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Anything else to cover under CDBG MIT? Any questions or comments, concerns?
We got something.
We're here.
1, 2, 3 years.
We're rolling. Yeah. Rolling. Okay. And then finally, DR 4781. Again, we've got an updated meeting. And hope all of you had an opportunity to get with Mr. Latham on prioritizing those mitigation projects and repair projects within your precinct, because I think that I think we've been started off on one road with the Category B emergency repairs, and they kind of guided us in a different direction. I don't think that that's the most advantageous thing for the county overall. even if we're not recouping all of the labor costs, there were still materials, fuel expenses that went into the emergency repairs that currently we're not getting credit for those.
Category B, the team has got this package of, has made it through CRC review and is ready to pay. Right now, that sets it. The gross estimate is $3,442. Our portion of that would be $70,081. It's sitting in the portal right now for a signature for certification from us. Basically, as it says right now, we'd sign that, send it in, they would send the money down, you know, probably in a few weeks. I think some of the things on that kind of going for overtime and out of schedule work. So that's all that we could come up with that was classified as not going to be $3,000. So we have not signed that. We're just sitting on it to see if you want to review that.
I have looked at it. And that's why I really want to sit down with you and go back over some things prior to Friday's meeting.
What category is emergency repair for?
That's category B.
Emergency service.
But it's got to be outside of normal work day.
The way we understand it, some of these meetings.
And I think the discussion to be had was that it was out of their regular work schedule. It may not be out of their regular hours, but it was out of their regular work schedule because had this event not happened, there would have been road work going on in other parts of the county. These were not scheduled. We didn't schedule projects to repair.
We expended funds, emergency repair of damages directly caused by the event.
Yes.
We're on EDMG number 6 or 7.
It's changing the flavor and needing to be able to sit down with them and say, look, this is
original packaging of this came from one of our first PDMGs.
Yes.
He said that capture, take County Road 158, we replaced the same culvert over there 4 times. Well, they're saying that's not emergency repairs, that we need to put that subsidiary to category C, track our force account on that, and we can get reimbursed for every hour over there because it was done during hours. If we put it in B, daytime alert wouldn't be accounted in that. My understanding after talking to them about it, that you'd actually get more money putting it into the category C completion project. But that's kind of how all that transpired, the packaging that we
and I think it's worth noting that I believe both of our first two PDGMs were FEMA employees. We have had contractors ever since then. And I'm not saying that the quality is any less, but there is a difference when they go through the contracted help versus the actual employees.
So in kind of the second part of this, they tie together a little. We've been requesting all the site visit documentation that they have so we can start building projects for our category C. Spoke with Desiree this morning before I came here. She said that she'd been talking to him and Mary, our temporary PDMG right now, we have a temporary one right now until we get another one permanent, wants to repackage all of our projects in different project categories. So which we originally tried to get them to package them differently. They didn't. They said they cannot find their site visits, but they do acknowledge that somebody was down here.
It happened.
So now they want to revisit all the sites starting Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Just scheduled with Desiree and, you know, either Tim or I to go look at all these sites. But one thing I wanted to voice my concern with them on Friday is we have our own documentation. We were just trying to make sure it matches. And did we get recouped the cost to go visit the site? So, I mean, we spent lots of man hours going around. And then the second part of that is, too, is when you went and looked at that right after in June, July, when we did, and you go look at it today, they don't look the same. Growed up in grass. I mean, we might have went through and bladed just a little to try to help it out. It's not going to be the same look as what it was right after the event, which most part we got pictures on all of it. So we can use that for arguing the position. That's why we have not been building projects yet on Category C, just because there's no point until they'll kick it back out of CRC. If we go in there and say this is 100 foot, the inspector cut it with 90 foot, Matt's going to add up, they're going to kick that back.
Right.
If 10 times.
I'm going to reach out to Matthew Weeks, see if we can get some time scheduled this week to have a pre-meeting and discuss some of these things. I'll get with you this afternoon to figure out what's available on your calendar, what time slots you've got. Because I'm
in Category A is going through. Yeah. That's pretty cut dry. Vegetation, burning trees.
I'm doing everything I can to help you do that.
I think they burned five of those locations yesterday, which we're paving today. We'll try to burn some tomorrow if weather permits. That's all we have left, just to basically burning brush. We got stuff to do. I think there's 11 or 14 sites altogether we've already burned some of them. But we did get the documentation that satisfied them to move forward with fire names.
Okay. All right. Very good. Still lots of questions due out on 4781, but we are making some progress. Some. Any other questions, comments, concerns under DR 4781? All right, hearing none. Any other grant actions or opportunities that the court wishes to discuss?
Yep. I had a question while ago with SS4A. Caroline couldn't get her phone off the meeting. The NOPO came out, y'all have not applied yet. The NOPO came back out last week. It closed on June the 26th. $25 million cap for a project. They've got $1 billion to push out. They think they're going to have 500 projects awarded this time. So we had discussed this with y'all a while back. If you want us to reapply for the county, we would do that at no additional cost. But you may want to look at your projects with everything that's happened since we did that and make sure we're still where you want us to be. Y'all, you know, they will just drop it and I'll do it. That's up to y'all. If we can do it, then we're going to need to know pretty quick that June 26th isn't all that far off.
The projects that we had on that, I can't remember.
I wish I had to go back and look. There was a lot of signage. There were things around a lot of the school districts in the county for safety. We had a pretty good load of projects in there, but
yeah.
Is that the one with the flood? Blood indicators, there were good, there was a lot of signage, and I think that we probably would go back and ask I think we only asked for like, well, I'm recalling this now. Yeah, I think we only, I don't think we had anywhere close to the cap last time. I think it was $6 or $7 million worth of projects.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we can file for you, but y'all are going to need to provide some input about whether or not that's somebody in this room is going to provide some input about whether or not those projects are still of interest to the county. There may be some things y'all have done since then that, you know, don't know that.
It looks like they applied for $15,425,840 last time, but I don't know if this is the right one or not.
I can't, I don't know, Council. I can't, too many grants. I can't remember what the dollar
was. It was, you had the one that was May of 24 when we applied last time?
Probably, yeah, because it was about this time.
Excuse me.
Caroline?
Can you hear me?
Yeah,
yes.
Caroline, go ahead.
This is Caroline Austin from NRS. I can confirm that last year's submission for SS4A was $15,425,840. The current cap this time around is $25 million.
Well, if I remember correctly, maybe I'm thinking about a different one. I'm getting, I don't think we really met their threshold. I mean, they were looking at projects. I don't think anything came in less than 20 million on that last funding cycle for implementation, but I could be getting that mixed up with either CWPP or.
Caroline didn't know what the caps were last year. They were higher, I believe, than they are this year.
So that's correct. There were two legs of this grant. There was the planning and demonstration grants and the implementation grants. And some of the planning and demonstration grants were lower on the lower end of the spectrum, under $1 million. But the awarded implementation grants were all over $20 million.
Yeah, I've got a spreadsheet here from our application last year, and it's got the when there was sidewalk audit, there was a pedestrian crossing audits, there was bike lane audit, pavement markings, dangerous curbs audit, dangerous water crossings. Implementation for project coordination for a total of $15,425,840. $1,000,006 looks like for some education enforcement and awareness type projects. Planning, design, and developmental activities were the rest of the projects and strategies, which was the majority of it. I don't know what all was in that implementation project. Number six was dangerous water crossings, $1,730,000. And we had a narrative that included some thoughts on that. It's been a small
note. We had a follow-up conversation with the U.S. Department of Transportation. County attorney might have been on that call, I don't remember. We had a call with them, kind of as a feedback of what they would do. We're tightening up a little bit. I think we've got, you know, we're prepared to make those changes. The only other thing I'll say is that some of the standards that were in all these federal grants have changed a little bit. And so, you know, we may be in a little better shape than we were before November of last year.
We did submit a narrative, a budget narrative with it that has the breakdown of the like sidewalk audit, an estimated 16 miles of sidewalks needed to be replaced or installed, and then pedestrian crossing audit, 35 pedestrian crossings. I mean, it's all broke out in here. Pavement striping, road curb improvement, project coordination, stream crossing safety projects. There were 8 high priority stream crossings in the project area. Signs and gauges, replace 80,000 replaced bridges 3 times, 500,000 pieces, 1,500,000,
Engineering was 150,000. That was what that 1,730,000 came up with. So we've got it all broke down and all in writing in a narrative here that's explains everything that we asked for last time, right in here. It's in May of 24.
Well, we just want some direction from the court before we proceed. If we could refile those, y'all might want to add something. Don't know, but it'd be pretty simple if we're just going to refile. If y'all want to change something up, then we need to pump it a little bit because, you know, we've got basically a 90-day window. Some of those projects are obviously in the city limits. It looks like I see some email traffic here that Brian Heverlaw was included in some of that. I think we looked at things around all the schools. Brandon, I think we checked in with the school to see where they would like some safety built in.
October, when we had that debriefing, October 16th.
Yeah. Weren't you on that call?
No, it was too long ago. Looks like I might have been.
Seems to me like a simple thing to do, just refile. I don't recall any of those projects being done. We get it, we get it. Nothing really invested.
I think that kind of goes back to what Mr. Latham is saying, though, that we need to take a look at what those were. They may have been impacted by the floods, and that that application would have been submitted prior to the floods we had last year. So some of those may have changed based off some of the repairs that he made. Yes, I think that obviously signage, I mean, we could probably even add to signage. But the three low water crossing projects, we need to see, compare them against what our PWs and mitigation are under 4781 to just at least have some continuity between those.
List the three.
No, 321 was one of them. That's where the fatality was.
Appendix A for a map for the project area. Let's see.
I agree with Commissioner Weddle. The simplest thing for us would be just refile it, but we don't want to refile something that's getting cross funded with the FEMA project. We're getting a little bit of a spot for that. So, who would be the point of contact that we'd work with here within the court?
I think. Mr. Latham needs to have the input on which projects he wants to follow through with on which funding source. And I think by next court, we should be able to give you some pretty clear direction and guidance as to what we think is the best course of action. And we'll disseminate that to the court prior to that meeting.
Okay.
But one of the projects was Winters. Let's see, which one is this? Winters Road.
It's 133 perhaps. And nope, them were the arms. I bet you. Here's crossing locations. Crossing locations. Horish and Horish. Those may be the ones. Those are the ones with the crossing arms. There's a bunch of them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 on here. I guess to put the little crossing flashlights and stuff, whatever it was. I can't remember what the design was, but. So it looks like the three replacement locations are going to be County Road 133, Road, it's got a crossing number, but there's no road on it. The what's that? So it's is that pretty vague.
Well, I know what, but I can't figure out where it's at.
It looks like precinct two to me. I don't know. That's one. I don't know. This one, just find that one's anywhere. Looks like a picture of the green. I'm sure they're crossing line. It's got that CRX number on it. Refers back to. There's the light lawn, John. Oh, that's a big day, fine. Come on, Bessie. Come on.
Bone
up. Looks like that's where hood, the green, I bet you. That's where hood come out right there. No, it's not at that creek. That's a little right that corner. Okay.
That bridge.
Here's to the Peter's turning upside down. Where's that?
That's the bridge.
Yeah, that's the bridge right there. Yeah.
Yeah, this is where hood
moves out. Yeah. Right. Yep, that's where hood.
This bridge.
Yep. Sorry, Commissioner, not precinct two.
We didn't change that one.
Yep, all of them changed out the flag.
No, that's not the one crossing. That's the bridge. So that's down there. Folks are go past Speed Yard.
But you go across by and pays by Bearwinkle. I think that's just, yeah.
And there's a bridge on Ball on.
Oh, yeah. No, I think that's the same one that's in our project for the CBDG Med. Yes. No,
well, that was definitely the bridge that we just looked at. It's in this.
Yes.
There's no doubt that this is the bridge.
You're right.
The
low water crossing is up there. Well, here's the
low water crossing is up there. That those two norms right there definitely goes to that bridge.
Yeah, so that we don't have that in anything. We could still leave that in there.
Because that, but I don't I think that's accurate. But I certainly could be wrong because I've been wrong before. Already once or twice today.
So you're thinking the ladies I work with. The CDBG Med, you think it's the bridge and not lower building?
Well, I think, but you know, I certainly could be wrong. Not going to bet any money on this. I've been titled This Ball No Road.
In the interest of time, I mean, I think it would be wise if we regroup and kind of sort through these because it does seem like there's two, three, maybe four different project listing grants where we have, you know, some questions about what those project lists are. So let's cross-reference those, get that compiled, and get it ready to address where we think the appropriate funding source and action should be.
Okay.
Mr. Mannix spend most of our time working for y'all.
It's not on the list, but we should probably be talking to Fort Price somehow about what's going on with the flood project.
And that was going to be my next one, and I'll certainly give you and Caroline an opportunity to kind of weigh in. So last week, to recap or kind of lay the background, if you recall, about 8 months ago, a year ago, we entered into an interlocal agreement with ACF to apply for flood mitigation funding on behalf of Coryell County. So we are not the recipients, ACF or the recipients. We are the benefactor to this grant application that ACF had worked. And the GLO found funding to be able to do that for Coryell County. Subsequently, ACF went back and they engaged with the GLO to expand that study into Bell County. And there was a little bit of additional funding that was allocated. And then they came back and did a larger proposal for the entire, most, if not all, of the Leon River watershed up to Belton Lake Dam, as well as the Cowhouse Creek watershed. So the current amount of funding in this project overall is $3.9 million. With that, the primary vendor, the primary lead on this is Blackland, which is part of the Texas A&M AgriLife system. They have a major component of it, but the four components, and then I'll turn it over to Mr. Manning, but the four components revolve around surface water study, groundwater study, drainage and flood mitigation. And then the fourth component is a policy component that's being handled by the Bush School out of Texas A&M. Huge impact on the region. Attendees for last week's meeting ranged from the Comanche County judge was there, Hamilton County judge, representatives from the GLO, as well as a few other state agencies, and then obviously various cities were involved with that, and then the individual researchers and developers of those four components were there to answer questions. This is about a three-year study overall. I believe that's the timeline. About 3 years is what we have on this. A lot of the data will be captured, you know, within the next 18 to 24 months, and then it will be about another year of policy writing and implementing models and stuff like that. So that's kind of the 30,000 foot overview, and I turn it over to Mr. Manning to kind of give us a little bit more finite information on the whole overall program.
Thank you. Got a private reports focus. I would say the big things are, we're calling the study, which is accurate, but the end products are actually a flood model, predictive model that will plug into what we're already doing with the sheriff's office and other folks. Also, it's water availability. This goes into some discussions we've had back a good while back about trying to find additional water sources. And so part of what A&M is doing is modeling potential sources for underground storage. So you'll see some product out of that that will identify potential spots within Coryell County that could act as a storage point for water. The idea is that during times when there's a lot of water floods, plentiful water, we'd be capturing that water, putting it in the ground, and bringing it back out when we need it. Can't always count on Lake Belton to have all the water needed going forward. So that would be another end product of this. the flood model, flood early warning system, and the groundwater model, which will include some possible sites for storage down the road. So those are the big ones, in addition to the policy. And I think the main thing I want to know is how y'all want to, I'm assuming if we just give you updates during court from time to time, y'all are fine with that. I mean, we're interacting with seven different counties here, but we'll coordinate with you however y'all see fit. But at a minimum, maybe make sure we've got a space on this particular part of the agenda to come in and visit everyone.
Think the study, they look at like the snags in the river, how it affects the flow of the water. Will they study these snags as well? Because that's a big concern of mine.
Yeah, they're going to, absolutely. I mean, they've got a model, everything that's causing that impacts the way water flows in the Leon and the Cuyahoga. And then from that, they'll have an end product that will actually, so if there's another flood, it's a predictive model, so it'll actually push data out ahead of time to show what would happen, so we've got time to react. And then also for housing development, if you've got this model, will be able, if someone's projecting to do 500 rooftops somewhere, the model will run to show how that's going to impact drainage at a time, which I think will be good for the board here. If you have a question about how your crossings or your roads are going to be impacted by drainage, this study, this model will help for that. You'll have an actual product you can use. There will also, we've talked about this before, but if you've got questions about groundwater availability, somebody's going to come in and want to drill 500 wells. So the groundwater piece of this is going to run, the numbers can tell you whether that's going to work or not. If you've got something that's, that the groundwater district has a product now, but this one's going to be more granular, more precise, just because of the nature of the way we're collecting data.
Mr. Manning, from my standpoint, I think, some of the key things that I think this court would want to know, as well as, getting tied into some of the maps that you're already partnering with us on, when those upstream gauges come online, so that our citizens can then see, as part of the overall mapping piece, when water is rising rather than by the time it hits the Leon River Bridge and, when it's flooded, okay, well, I think we all pretty much know it's flooded, but it's that predictive side of it. And if you think about how this potentially evolves is as waters start to rise in either Comanche County or Hamilton County, the drainage piece as well as the surface water piece, this model, predictive model, will allow us to then know based off the water rise and the drainage that does that water rise going to hit the Jonesboro area in 30 minutes or 45 minutes or an hour? Does that water rise hit Gatesville in an hour or an hour and a half? Does it hit Mound and Leon Junction? What times it hits those? And as we hopefully develop this, people may be able to go to our website or an app on their phone, and they would be able to see that analysis of what does that water rise look like. And it's not just the citizens, but it's every school district that has a rural bus route out there can see what low water crossings may or may not be affected, what roadways may be affected, and the timing of when those may be affected. Because it doesn't all just happen at night. We could have kiddos at school, and before school releases, there's, rising floodwaters or rising waters in our streams and channels. So I think those advancements, I mean, obviously, we can see where we are overall, but, when we hit those things, it may be a tangible tool to integrate into the mapping piece of it. I mean, I think those are things that the court would really want to focus in on.
So for right now, you're a good judge. We just, as needed, we'll just add that into what we're doing on grants within the agenda.
I think so, yes. And I can add that in as a piece. Any questions or comments from the court? It's a pretty significant study that's being done. We're going to, I think, long-term reap a lot of benefits. Okay, any alibis under item number 7 for update and actions on grants?
Well, for engineering contract, I've got a draft from the set, and I have sent them some details that need to be included in there and some of the required statutory language, and they're working on a final draft for us.
Okay. All right, very good. Thank you, Mr. Bell. Okay, Mr. Weeks, I think we kind of we're at a good point right now for 4781. I would like to reach out to you, give you a call after this meeting to kind of do some coordination with you, if you're okay with that.
Okay. Yes, sir. Absolutely, Judge. Sounds good.
Very good. Thank you. Any other alibis under number 7? Hearing none, we'll move on to item number 8, which is an update on construction projects. Anything to update?
Oh, sure. I think we can probably take that off as a standard. If there's ever anything, we can just add it back on.
Do we have a projected date to move into the new annex?
Before the end of the month. They put the rest of the hardware in the rack on Friday. They worked on it yesterday. They're working on it again today to get it all. The engineers, the computer engineers, are working on getting everything done, whatever they do. And I've got email that says what all that is, but I don't know what it means, so I don't remember. last week, I was told by Friday of this week, they will be ready to schedule with the occupants of that building they're moving in. So I suspect before the end of this week, they will be reaching out to the JPs and the 440 on scheduling the move, whenever they're available for
okay.
Yeah,
it was, and such. It was previously mentioned that there was a closeout document from our construction manager at risk. Is that had some items listed on it to finish up down here as far as, you know, making sure the gates were properly set, aligned, fixed, whatever, site cleanup, a few of those other things. Do we have that closeout document?
So the closeout document is done if it could complete enough construction, yes, but there's still warranty work being done and things. I don't know. I mean, I'm not involved in all that. I don't know where they're at on those things.
Okay.
Like the gate, the lean gate, and those things. I don't know. I'm not working any of that. I certainly can if I need to, but.
I think it'd be a package.
Yeah, no, I don't think you need to step in yet, but we'll see. It's just going to be a battle between the civil engineer and the constructor, because they built it the way he designed it, and it's not working the way it was supposed to work. But that'll be.
I built some fence before. I thought it was going to hold up and braces for that. It happens.
Yeah.
You just gotta fix it.
And the other was the cleanup on the side over there, and that's done. And look here.
Yeah.
Is there cleanup scheduled for the parking lot side of the street? Okay. Anything else to cover under the update on construction projects? You get that look, Mr. Bell.
I did get a bill on the tax office in Copper's Cove. So I'm doing some markings for the steps to the porch on the sidewalk and the parking lot. And we'll be doing that on a Saturday because it's just too much foot traffic.
Okay. Again, anything else to cover under update on construction projects? All right, hearing none, we'll move on to consider actions on items to support construction projects. Is there any actions that the court wishes to take to support construction projects? Hearing none, Ms. Newton, again, if you note no action taken under number nine. Item number 10 is to consider a contract with Financial Intelligence for financial software. This was an item that had previously been budgeted about 2 years ago, budgeted it again this year. I believe Mr. Wood has had several conversations with various financial software vendors, and I believe he is presenting his proposal for a contract. But I would turn it over to Mr. Wood for his comment and input.
Thank you, Judge. Yes. Look over the officer. They've been working on some outdated software. Problems with that software here lately. We need to move forward with selecting a new software. Not all the softwares, they all look great. Financial Intelligence as well. That's the one we've selected, which you presented here with the draft contract. The language in that contract won't change. They will enter some dates as far as when they can look at doing the conversion. Won't happen until Q1 or Q2 of 2026. But in order to secure a spot, we have to take up the contract. Mr. Bell's gone through the contract. That pops out is concerning. What I'd like to do is approve moving forward with Financial Intelligence to sign up for their software. It's the final contract till we then, of course, have Mr. Bell review that again. If all is well, have the county judge sign that.
Questions. Well, we'll have time, maybe he's okay. Initiated I'm assuming that's right. Correct.
Yeah.
Okay, so there is a motion to approve the contract with Financial Intelligence pending final review from the county attorney. Would that be a fair assessment, Mr. Matthews?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Weddle, you had a question or comment?
Yeah, question.
There has not been a second yet.
Okay.
Y'all want to arm wrestle over it? I got it in stereo. I'm going to keep it all on this side. There is a second from Commissioner Taylor. So we have a motion and a second. Sorry about that, Commissioner Basham. My left ear is working better than my right ear today. Now, Commissioner Weddle, did you have...
Yeah, page... 27. So I'm going to break down the cost.
Yes, sir.
So I think I know who the license users, and since I've never been on EDOC, I don't know who all has, who's users of it, of the financial side and everything. That's enough users to cover everybody?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, sir. The treasurer's office, who also uses the EDOC financial software,
right,
was involved in the decision to make the process as well. We brought them in because they will be operating as well on the financial software. So
okay. And then the inquiry only license, I'm very interested in.
Yes, sir.
Pretty cheap. So yeah, that's just so somebody can go in and just look, but
potentially
can't make any changes.
But so currently, the $4,200 a month will push us over the threshold for procurement. So you're going to see these options are going to change, sir, to stay within statutory requirements. So potentially that could drop off soon.
Okay. But I take it.
But here's
the. Can we add those in later? Because I've always.
Yeah, yes, sir.
I've always said that I think commissioners should have access to the financial stuff, you know, immediately at our beck and call. You know, if we're sitting, you know, behind a computer, we can look up instead of bugging you for expense statements. And,
yes, sir.
And, all
and,
of that.
And don't put it like that, that you're bugging me, sir. Anytime you want access to any information.
I know.
Sir,
okay, let me put it away. It's not an imposition on you. It just, you know, if I have to make a phone call versus just getting on a computer, I mean, Mr. Belt can certainly attest to that. I mean, he uses that type of stuff all the time. And at times I feel like I could just.
I don't have access to the financial software.
Yeah, I know.
Nor do I want access.
Well, like I said, it's just, you know, the, you know, watching the budget quarterly. Anyway, so $75 seems pretty reasonable.
Yes.
Do you know from your demos, can you print and run reports from that $75 license?
I would assume so, but I can't confirm that.
Okay.
So what me and Mr. Wood visited about to stay below the that threshold is to make some changes to that. We're going to have to do some, I don't know what kind of conversion we're going to get to do, but some conversion, some uploading of data. I mean, it's probably going to be a few months at least before it's going to be more than a few months. It's going to be a while before we're going to be able to get all that done and work. That's going to be something that's even going to be usable for anyone else. So,
yeah, even when they start the conversion process, you're probably at least 4 months out before going live.
Yeah, so we got a little time to work through those things and move forward, figure out what we're going to do to meet all our legal requirements.
How long have these guys been in business? Do we know? Their website doesn't say.
I'm not sure. I want to say 10 years. That's.
Yeah, and they're out of Arkansas. That's,
yes, they have an office in Texas. Yeah, I believe Congress.
Yeah, so Brandon, I noticed in the contract on their website, it says your fees won't increase for the length of the contract term. I think they're looking for
a 3-year contract.
Yeah, I tried 3 years. But in the contract, it looked like they're tying it to some consumer price index or something, you know, increases. The website says no increases for the term of the contract. So might want to, I can't remember where I saw that in the contract. I just, you know how these things go. I just want to make sure we don't get into something and then they start, you know, they got you over a barrel, kind of like insurance game. Because it's been still $50,000 a year.
So did you see that in the renewal?
It speaks of it on 28 here. COLA increases.
Yeah. There it was, COLA. So it says at the beginning of each contract year. So I would assume that once we finish our three, that we hopefully we'd be locked in. Okay.
That's not what it says, but it says you can be in each contract year. It doesn't say contract period.
Prior to begin. Ah, you're right. Like I said, you could also confirm they, you know, that's one of their blurbs on their website. Websites can get you sometimes. I did talk to Childress County, Brenda Overstreet, the auditor there. Overall, she's pretty happy. Just a forewarning, I think you already know. She said when it comes to having a question or a problem, they had two things, mostly good things. Two things they had against it were takes a lot of clicks to get somewhere. Because they were on Hill Country software, which I don't even, they don't exist anymore.
Yeah,
and, but she did say that you can't just call the help desk. You have to put a ticket in. And she said sometimes they don't respond very quick to the ticket. And for her case, she does payroll. And she said, I'll be needing to get payroll out. And so just the, I think they're all that way, but that was what she had to say. And I didn't hear back. There's not a lot of, I couldn't find a lot of users in Texas. A lot of them in Arkansas.
Yeah, we're experiencing problems with the customer service.
Yeah, with our current system. No doubt. No doubt.
Not saying they don't, they're not responsive. But...
Okay, we've got a motion and a second on the floor. Is there any other discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Thank you, gentlemen. Item number 11 is to consider financing options for capital expenditures. This has been an issue that the court has had discussions on for several weeks. We've had a proposal provided to us from Specialized Public Finance, which would allow the county to reimburse for allowable expenses associated with construction costs, as well as some capital improvement expenditures, most notably the replacement of air handlers at the sheriff's office. The total funding amount would be $1,290,000. With the cost of issuance of that to include, I believe that includes legal fees as well. Is that correct, Mr. Belt? Is that your...
That's correct, Judge. That should include all fees for cost of issuance. That is an estimate. They'll have a final fee calculation available once they go out for bids for the... Well, let's see, the bids, maybe the wrong word. That is an estimate of the cost. There is a chance there may be some other fees. Julia Houston, our attorney, said that lately there, and I didn't get in the weeds with her on it, but I assume it's on smaller issuances that are sold to banks, to individual banks. There's a bank counsel fee that for the bank's attorney has been charging a fee. And I don't remember us incurring that previously, but then again, I might just not have known it. But so she said that fee estimate looked low to her, but she said it depends, because if we sell them to a bank that doesn't charge a bank counsel fee, then that number is probably fine. So, yeah. But they will know the on pricing, that's the word they used, until pricing. So, Vince apologized. He had a conflict this morning, couldn't be here, be on the meeting. And so whatever y'all want to do, decide today, you know, this is not a final approval. This is a yes, go ahead and price that decision. But he didn't want to go out and price something and then it not be in line with what y'all wanted to do. So that's the reason he put this together. These are probably, we've been back and forth with them a few times, had some calls with them, me and Mr. Wood have, hashing out the details of what we can and can't do and how we can and can't do things. These are the documents and all my notes from those meetings. And so I think we have a pretty good handle now on what we can do and how we can do it. The previous discussions about the debt on the a standalone debt on the purchase of a building in Conference Cove for the tax office and those remodel costs is going to be problematic. Not that it can't be done, not that there's not a way to do it, but it's going to be problematic because it looks to me like there's not going to be any way around doing it in such a way that the debt service comes out of M&O, out of fund team, out of M&O, not out of IMS. It's probably not going to qualify for under Chapter 26 of the tax code as debt. It's going to qualify it in that we can't borrow the money and issue the debt, but it's got to come out of it's going to be designated as self-supporting debt and be paid out of fees of office, out of Fund 10, out of M&O. Which, as you know, those calculations for tax rates affect us differently than those out of IMS do. So when you look at all the numbers on the construction projects and on everything, it's not necessarily that county needs the money for the completion of those projects, but the county does need the money, and the county is legally able to borrow the money under that reimbursement resolution for those costs. Because the reimbursement resolution still had $735,000 on it or something. And let's see what I need in the spreadsheet. Miss Houston makes a neat little graph, little for me because she knows some folk. Thought it might be good, and it's very good. I love pictures, so it's very helpful. So the improvement to the tax office, the improvements to the jail, the construction of the Justice Center, all of those qualify across the board. They're public works, they qualify as debt under Chapter 26, reimbursement resolutions are in place on them, and we're within the IRS, well, the Internal Revenue Code sections to allow those to be issued as tax-free. So it meets all the legal requirements and all of those. The acquisition of the tax office, it meets most of them, but it does not qualify as debt under Chapter 26 of the tax code. So doing it like this, getting the money is the easiest, simplest. There's no questions. And we just have to do one debt issue. The county wanted to get enough money, solve some issues. I think we'd have to do it. If we did the tax office, we'd have to do two different issuances. We'd have to do one under the self-certifying, the self-supporting debt. We'd have to do one under a tax level, which costs us two issuance fees, two fees for this, that, and the other. And of course, Vince is totally against that. He says our best bang for our buck to get the best effective rate on our debt issuance to do it all in one like this. Okay. And most importantly, from my perspective, we've had this discussion. The county's got plenty of cash, but the county didn't have plenty of cash budgeted for the purchase of the
building in Calvert's Cove, even though it was, as I don't think anybody disagrees, it was a wonderful deal and needed done. But we need to amend the capital improvement budget. And we do this, we'll have the money come in, we'll be able to book the debits and credits properly, we'll be able to reimburse, for lack of a better term, those accounts that you made the budget amendments from to cover that. You'll be able to put a budget amendment in showing that, and it will all balance and look like it should, and allow the court to make those budget amendments that need to be made and put those budget amendments back where they were, so we can all agree to do that as well.
I make a motion to approve the approve the steps to initiate this option with what are they called?
Specialized public finance.
Basically, Vince just needs to go ahead and to price this out. He'll price it out, he'll bring it back with all the details.
I'll second that.
Okay, just so everybody's clear on the motion that's being made, and I'm not trying to question any of Commissioner Matthews' language on it, but just to summarize the motion that we have on the floor is to initiate the issuance of tax note debt with specialized public finance. That's the heart of the motion that we're considering. And that second would be with Commissioner Webb. Any further discussion concerning the initiating the process to issue tax note debt?
Judge, my understanding is I'm about to send Vince an email that says that the Commissioner's Court has authorized him to price out $1,290,000 debt in accordance with this schedule release with these projects is the where use the funds
estimated sources and use of funds, page 2 of the proposal as presented by specialized public finance. And Ms. Newton, I'll provide you a copy for the record. So we've got.
And I know y'all have had a chance to look at it. It's important to note that this will include the replacement of those air handlers over there at the SO that are, one of them on its last leg and about to die. And that will allow the also the budget amendment to show that, as so it won't have to be money moving around again. So,
correct.
And that's that was all part of our discussion with Vince and Ms. Houston. About where we thought we needed to be, so.
Okay.
Price it out. Let us know. There's a schedule in here on the calendar on the very last page of that, kind of what he thinks as far as availability. He'd be back here. He'll get a term sheet out to kind of get some, that's when he'll price it out here next week. And then, get the bids in, and then he'll have something back to us to finalize things in May. And then earliest date to receive funds will probably be second week of June.
Yep.
And okay. Of course, Miss Houston thinks that's very aggressive, but she said Vince can do it. She will not be afraid of that. So.
All right. Any other questions or comments under item number 11? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item number 12 is to consider Employee Appreciation Day.
We discussed it briefly the other day. It didn't go into much detail. taking everybody's input, whether they want to do it, not do it. Dates, no dates, whatever. Let me know.
The 18th, Good Friday. About the 25th.
Do it on the 18th on the way here.
Yeah.
That'd be a cheap one, yeah.
What is it? 25th too quick?
I don't think so. Well, let me look at one thing.
I have reached out to Mr. Blake. He said that there would be available for you. But yeah, it's used to be.
You got a little roof on the basement yesterday, so the leak would dry after draining.
I don't know. I would probably think about putting it back to May. I mean, May, second or the ninth. I know that. Which is outside of normal, but that's my opinion, just to be able to price out some meat.
I'd like to do something for employees, absolutely.
Yeah, maybe we'll be outside the window of the bad storms.
Yeah. You remember back last night?
Was that ever? Well, I remember last year when we were in there and that tornado was pretty.
You want to try to stick with the same menu?
Yes.
Yeah. Runs like clockwork now.
So we're going to be May 2nd, 9th, what day? Or whatever.
Yeah, I like the 2nd.
Make a motion to speak with the same menu and schedule it for May the 2nd. Yeah.
That would be good. Far
and out left. And Gateful.
You go with that.
And then
you got the evil here.
As we talk about it in court, I guess on that Thursday, the 1st, will be the meat cutting day. Okay.
Do it the same location?
Yep.
Yeah, I'll price it.
$11.10 a piece of the day. About a 5 liter cut, or about 12 ounces.
Mm.
Sure will flip. I bet it was. Cool.
Yeah. Okay, so May 2nd, employee appreciation lunch.
Start at 11. 11 to 2, something like that, I think so.
That all the information and discussion board needs? Okay. All right. Looks like we're set for May 2nd. Gates the firehouse. Okay. Any other discussion under item number 12? Hearing none, we'll move on to item number 13, which is to pay bills. We've had bills presented in the amount of $985,204.15. Mr. Wood has added or request for consideration one additional invoice, which is $1,358.88. I do believe that there needs to be some discussion on that because that particular invoice is tied to the hardware, not the software, but the hardware for Time Clock Plus. And given that the court has taken action with some new financial software, it is currently my understanding that the new financial software is not compatible. So Time Clock Plus does not directly link to it. We cannot pay off of Time Clock Plus. I pose the question of do we, as a court, need to be paying $1,360 for hardware, then potentially enter into a contract to pay another $6,000 plus for software support for the next year on a system that is not compatible with our software, financial software that we're moving forward with? That's what I would pose, because it's really, I don't know, I'm trying to think through it logically, but in my mind, if we're saying that we're going to pay the $1,358.88, then we're saying that we're going to pay the $6,000 plus. $6,000. I mean, I don't know the exact number, about $6,000. Give or take. So really, it's a, if we're paying this bill, I think it's a commitment that we're going to pay for Time Clock Plus, which I've heard Mr. Latham say it. I'm not throwing you under the bus, but there are issues with that software that Time Clock is saying that they can resolve, and they very well may be able to, but we still can't pay off of it.
I don't know if I pay good, but what is the hardware? I didn't think. But we were one of the only departments to utilize hardware at the Time Clock Plus.
That is the hardware.
Our two deals we...
That is the hardware that we're talking about, yes.
We have to buy those again?
We pay a fee. Payment.
I would make a motion not to pay the invoice for Time Clock Plus. Invoice number 004-07-698.
Okay, so we've got a motion from Commissioner Matthews to not pay the invoice presented from Time Clock Plus, as well as a second from Commissioner Basham. Ms. if you'll give me just a second. Ms. Newton, I will give you a copy of this invoice since there is an action being taken on it specifically. Now I'll open this up for discussion. You had a question or comment, Commissioner Webb.
Yeah, well, we do. So what is the plan to keep employees on YouTube?
I believe it is the paper, which is what most, if not all, departments are currently using as a backup system because the accruals are not accurate within our current software.
So our department, Judge, our timekeeping is, we still use the Time Clock Plus. We print off weekly reports for our time guards, essentially, and we just have the guys sign them. We keep our accruals on paper. We do utilize Time Clock Plus to a certain degree. So kiosk is not going to work in some time, is always going to have that.
Yep. That is correct.
My suggestion to this new software is to find something that's compatible with that. I know it's going to be stepping back a little bit, but if they're not going to be able to make it work with it, I just, and then, you know, the modifications, I don't see sticking with them.
But our current contract runs with them through June.
Right. That's correct, through June. So we have up until June to reach out to
30 days prior. They need 30 days cancellation.
For cancellation. Yeah. But we have an opportunity, and I don't know if you've talked with them. I'm not going to put you in. I don't want to get too far off the subject because the subject is to pay bills. But I do believe that there is the potential to have timekeeping software that is compatible with financials. Whether that happens.
So this is straight from financial intelligence. We reached out and asked them. They said, in regards to Time Clock Plus, they said, we do not, which owns, you know, it does not interface with Time Clock Plus. Timekeeping is a specialized bill because there are so many individual timekeeping solution providers, each doing their offering a bit differently, each designed with different logic and programming languages. We do not interface. Can I select the timekeeping provider that works best for them?
is within their budgets, and then use the data and or information generated by the timekeeping system to input the data into our software. So I think based off of that, any timekeeping software you select to pay from will work, because it just automatically loads in there and
you don't have a direct interface.
Hey, there's still a manual entering of payroll.
And there's got to be some way to build an interface where you pull the data from one system and it puts it in a format where you can easily put it into the other system. Whether it does it automatically or you have to manually do that.
Right.
It's just going to cost a little program to probably get that done.
That question up for you, because I know you're the heaviest user and one of our largest employee pools. I think there's other departments that utilize it in the same way as you do. You know, they use it for timekeeping purposes and then transfer it over to their I just want to make sure we have a plan, because we are beholden to by the federal statute to make sure we keep good timekeeping records.
I think we're one of the only departments that utilize the kiosk.
Yes.
We only have a handful of computers.
Right. Yeah, most people log on the computer and
you don't want the guys really clocking in on their phones.
Right.
That, but then you need to go in there and set geofencing parameters. So you got to be on the yard. I mean,
right.
We won't have time, essentially. Go back to the scripting for this. But that's not a common challenge. It falls into the flavor laws.
I think that we can make it work in a short time period, short term, less than 12 months, we should have a better answer. There's a motion and a second on the floor to not pay the invoice that has been presented in the amount of $1,358.88. That was Commissioner Matthews, and the second was from Commissioner Basham. Any further discussions concerning that one invoice? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no.
No.
Ayes have it, motion carries. Then we go back to, again, the overall bills presented is $985,204.15. Got a motion to pay bills from Commissioner Matthews, second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on paying bills? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 14, reports. Commissioner Matthews. Welcome. Good. Commissioner Weddle.
Nor do I.
Okay, very good. Commissioner Basham.
We had the Coryell County Go Take Some fundraiser Saturday night, scholarship fundraiser. We were raised about around $31,000 for the kid. Coryell County, really excited about that. Had a good range Saturday as well, about an inch. And about looking and lifting the burn band for a bit. I'm begging some golf people on the burn and Fort Gates and Precinct 3 is pretty wet. I don't know about y'all precincts. So.
For just a short duration, and then
Monday.
I don't think that's not
7 p.m.
I've done it in the past.
We do ask you all. The statute says, and our order says that it can be terminated earlier based on a determination by the county judge that a public safety hazard no longer exists. It doesn't say modified or temporarily, and the statute doesn't say any of those words either. It's put in place because there's a hazard, and hazard ceases to exist during the duration of the burn ban, the county judge can make that determination and it's terminated.
Mr. Belt, thank you for that input. I can resolve that issue. I
appreciate Judge.
In
a lot of people in precinct three. Thank you.
In 49 minutes or less.
I can
have that done. I can, and I appreciate that input. Okay.
That's all I got, Judge.
All right.
Pray for more rain.
Very good. Very good. Thank you. Mr. Taylor.
Yeah, I guess we'll just stick with the burn ban. I was under the understanding that when we left court the other day that the burn ban would be in place. And then at 6:47 Wednesday night, I get a text saying that I had failed to produce an order to support the action of the court, which I didn't know that I had to do it because normally it's always done, and I'm assuming the judge does it. And if I didn't have that order in motion by 9 a.m. on the 27th, that the action would be lit to lift the burn ban restrictions. What's the deal? I mean, when the court ordered a burn ban, but then it was never put on. And in the past, it's always been put on right after court. And then I get this text message at 6:47 at night the next day. And another question I get, if it had never been put on, how could anything be lifted?
My very short
order was done. An order was done. It was put on Thursday, on Tuesday.
That's correct.
Because there was no order that was produced. I mean, if I am initiating an action from this court, I don't ask any of you to write an order of what I'm doing. And that's why I had the clarification, you know, when we wrapped up that meeting. That was an action that I don't know who put that on the agenda, but I expect that if there's an order that the court wants to initiate, you write the order.
Well, it'll be done from now on.
That's because in essence, I'd be writing an order that I don't know if I'm covering what you want covered.
So then we need to get everything else straight, because then I was told that you were the only one that could sign it, and then Ms. Newton was the only one that could sign it when I took it over there, which I found out that no, anybody on the court can sign it. And she got a deputy, whatever you call it.
Deputized people like to sign my name.
So it just don't make any sense.
Well, we can argue the merits of who signs what for the court. But I believe from a statutory standpoint, if I'm available, that is my responsibility. Okay. All right. Very good. I don't have anything for the court. Given that, this concludes the business of the court today. We stand adjourned.
Thank you.